You are listening to WCOM FM 103.5, Chapel Hill and Carrboro's community radio station. The comments, views, and opinions of the following program do not necessarily represent the views and opinions of WCOM, its board, and underwriters. Hello and welcome to Focus on Business. I'm your host, Lee Strickland. On today's program, I want to talk to you about being in the middle of the in-between and dealing with uncertainty in our lives and our businesses. In the middle of the in-between is a phrase my youngest niece used when she was trying to tell me where she was one day. I said, "Where are you?" And she says, "Well, I'm in the middle of the in-between." And she was trying to tell me that she was in the middle of the space between her dad and her sister on the riverbank and fishing. As you can tell, that phrase stuck with me because it encapsulates so much of life in transition. So often we are in transition phase, and heaven knows we are in a transition phase right now with the COVID-19 pandemic and the effects of trying to stem the spread of the pandemic and the variability of how that's been taking place state to state, city to city, and location to location, and country to country. Everything is in a state of flux. So we are definitely in the middle of the in-between, and things are uncertain. So in this transition phase, well, we don't know how long it's going to take to get to our new state of normal. And we don't know what that new state of normal is going to look like. And we do know that our old normal is gone because so many businesses have failed. They were on the brink before this happened, and all of this staying home to protect everybody, to stop the spread of the virus, the impact on and disruption on how businesses are done and what we can do and where we can go, and all of those kind of things have taken a toll on the businesses in our community, and it's taken a toll on people's employment status and their financial state. So thanks to COVID and to the actions taken to save lives, we're in a period between what was our normal and what will become the new normal. A new pattern of behavior is being established. But in that transition and in this turbulence, there's uncertainty, and, well, it causes stress. It stresses us because of the impact on our lives, because we're staying home and we're dealing with telecommuting and remote workers, and we're dealing with less revenue or more demand and less supply. Everything is just in a state of change, and we're used to change. Small changes, mandated changes, changes that we cause, and changes that we don't even notice, that are just slow and over time. But this one hit us like a tsunami, and it wiped out what was our old normal. Suddenly we're finding these external pressures have created a mandate to change in all aspects of our life as we knew it. Our stress levels are skyrocketing. For our employees, stress levels are skyrocketing. Everything's just different and doesn't quite fit yet. And we don't know what the next phase is going to look like, and we're trying to define it. And if we're business leaders and owners, our stress has a different dimension because we have people that we're responsible for, our workers, our paying our vendors and our suppliers and our clients, our customers. And we want to keep our business alive and thriving so we can keep our employees employed, so we can pay our own mortgages, so we can do all the things that we went into business to do. So in this time of transition, in this time of turbulence that has no exact time frame for when things will go to a consistent state, if not a new normal, it becomes at least somewhat predictable. We know we have to come up with new strategies and tactics for our businesses. We have to determine what actions we need to take, and we have to examine where we are and where we want to go. Here in the middle of the in-between, we have to find a path forward. And let's take a look at some of those steps that we need to take to figure out where we are, where we're going, and how we're going to get there. Think of this time as knowing our point of origin, and it's a little bit off from where we thought we'd be starting at this point. And we have to define where we're going and how optimistic or realistic or pessimistic or whatever istic we're going to use to decide how we're going to do our business for the last quarter of this year. I can't believe that the last quarter is almost here. We're in September. And what is 2021 going to look like? You know, at the beginning of the year, I started doing programs with 2020 vision because I thought we would have clarity. And 2020 just seemed to be the right thing because eyesight is 2020. And what we found is our eyesight is not that clear right now, but it's only partly our responsibility. It is the impact of COVID, but for a lot of businesses, COVID just revealed the cracks in our foundations, the rocks in the pond just below the water, that iceberg that the Titanic was going to run into. There was more things going on underneath the surface of our businesses that we were doing well enough. The economy was growing, and it kind of kept concealed the little fractures and the issues that we had. So we want to define our current state of uncertainty, and that sounds to be like an oxymoron, define uncertainty. Well, there is a definition, a structure, a starting point that we're right here. If you think about it, each business has similarities, but we also have a lot of differences. So my business historically has been technology-based. My clients have been scattered throughout North America, and I would travel to the client in Mexico and things, but the majority of the time I served my clients virtually through telephone, through email, through teleconferences and webinars and workshops. We used GoToMeeting and WebEx. And, you know, in the new reality, we're using Zoom because it has functionality for breakout rooms and things. But while my tool changed and my technology platform changed, what I did with my clients did not substantially change. Because it's always just been more efficient when I didn't have to be physically located with the clients for a specific reason, say reviewing documents that can move from the premises and you had to look at the originals or something like that. I was doing it virtually. So for me, my business didn't change that much, but I saw a huge impact on my clients' businesses. And so while there were technology shifts and people went to remote workers and people were no longer coming into the office and the customer wasn't there or the customer was having issues with how they were going to maintain operations, you have to look at how your business was impacted and define your business now. Not what you think your business is or what it was. We have to look at it realistically and say, where are we now financially? What are we doing to market, to advertise, to do business development? How are we getting new people into our pipelines, whether that's business to business or business to consumer? What is it we're doing and define what is now in the state of uncertainty? You might want to say, well, this isn't what it's going to be. Well, it is what it is right now, and that's what we're going to start with. And so we do have to go through and look at our financials and get them as refined and defined as possible. I've been going through with several clients and making sure that their PPP funds and their idle funds are separating things out, but we're still tracking the details of how they're spending and what's going on. Are they having to spend more on social media advertising? Are they having their website redone and modernized because that became a bigger part? Are they adding e-commerce? Are they doing things through PayPal and have transaction fees? Just what is their business doing now to make money, collect money, report it, acquire supplies and other inputs, hire people? Are you using contractors? Are you still using employees? Are you deferring payroll taxes? You just have to go through all those elements that are how your business is surviving right now. And so your business may have closed entirely, and God bless you if it did. But do you want to restart something new? Or do you want to team up with somebody to start something new? Do you want to buy into an existing business that could use your capital and your expertise? Maybe you've downsized your business and you want to look at how it's going to grow again, or maybe you want to get your business ready for sale. That means putting value back into the business. So So with the exception of where you closed your business entirely, we want to talk about the downsized business. We want to talk about the business that's experienced a blessing through this time because how they were delivering it, what they were delivering, had more demand, like a Zoom platform that just exponentially grew and had incredible value in their wealth of the business. And so what is it doing? What funds have your business been using? How tight are you? What's your burn rate? What are is your lease implications? And walk through all those elements to see how you are right now in the numbers. So we want to define those numbers. We want to get your financials as clean, as neat, and as segmented as you can so you know where your funds are coming from. Where are your best customers now? How are they coming into your business? How are you transacting with them? Are they business-to-business customers? Or are you business-to-consumer? Or do you have a mix? Are they buying different products or services than they were before COVID? Have you added products and services? And if you haven't, could you? And what do they look like? And so as we look to define the changes in our business, to define where we are and to quantify where we are, we have to ask the questions about our future. And so I don't want to say we're going to SWAT the SWAT. So the first SWAT we're going to have is our strengths, our weaknesses, our opportunities, and the threats to our business. So threats that are outside our control. So what happens if there's a secondary COVID outbreak? What happens if there's no loan forgiveness and you expected loan forgiveness? Go through the analysis of all the things. What if you're audited on your PPP and your EIDL funds and other funds? What does that look like? What would it cost? Do you have the documentation? You're going to go through all of the things that I'm going to say. First, we're going to do the threats. And those are external threats to your business. Because we seem to be most fearful and stressing about those things because COVID has taught us to be that way. To look for changes that the government make that will impact us again. So anticipating two courses going forward, one that Donald Trump is re-elected and one that Joe Biden is elected. What would that impact our business and the marketplace? How do we think that's going to be? And so when we define our threats, we get a little bit more comfortable about them because they are defined. They're no longer ghosts or boogeymen that we don't know what they're going to look like. We can put a face and a name to them. And while we might not be able to eliminate them, we might be able to mitigate them through successful planning process and through looking at alternatives through those. And maybe we can offset them with the opportunities that are out there. And in any marketplace, whether it is down, up, recession, depression, recovery, booming, there are opportunities. We just have to be able to find them, and we have to be able to match the needs and the problems in the marketplace with our skill sets, our abilities, our technologies, our products, and our services. And that's what we want to define. So we're going to look first at our threats. We're going to look then at opportunities that are out there that are being caused by these threats. Or are shifting because of the threats that are out there. Because think about this. Every business is under threat by common elements. Changes in tax laws, changes in regulations, changes in administrations, changes in technology platforms, and changes in consumer and business demand for products and services, and what problems are occurring because of this. So think of it this way. How many people thought you would go to the grocery store and they would have employees dedicated to making sure that they take your temperature, that they count the number of people that are in the store at the time, that they're wiping down the carts and they're spraying things and they're sanitizing and making sure everybody has a mask on and all those different elements? That's different skills and deployment of your staff, your team, than has ever occurred before. And so when we're looking at things, we need to look at the new problems and look at our threats to see how they could become opportunities for new products, services, and products, technology that we can provide because other businesses are under those same threats. So we're taking this time of uncertainty, this in the middle of the in-between, and we're looking at the things that have caused us the most damage as also being things that could provide new opportunities for us in our businesses. And so we're trying to turn the negatives into positives as much as we can. And I think looking at the glass half full versus half empty, but having realism, having an expectation that just because we're in business doing one thing right now and solving a problem with our products, our services, or technology, does not mean that we can't redefine our business going into the future based on new opportunities that we see for our existing client base. Or we might want to look at a new client base for our products and services, or some combination of that. And so now that we've identified our threats, now that we've looked at our opportunities, now we're going to look at our business and where we're starting from and see what our strengths and our weaknesses are. So, you know, a lot of times when we've done SWOTs, if you've ever done one in the past, it's look at your strengths, look at your weaknesses, then look at the opportunities and the threats. I want to do this in reverse, and I want you to do this in reverse. I want you to look at the threats that are out there, and I want you to define them. Every little one, every big one, whatever is keeping you up at night, and whatever, when you've looked at your numbers and how things are going on in your business right now, in this, in the middle of the in-between, that is your state. That is the normal right now. It might be a temporary normal, but it might last longer than you think unless you take action. And so we want to look at those threats. And so first, just make a list. Just brainstorm your list. And maybe you want to get together with some business colleagues, your team, your mastermind group, people you respect, your advisors, and sit down and have this brainstorming session of, we're going to look at the threats. What are the threats out there? And let's define them. Let's name them. So another COVID recurrence, an extended shutdown period again, changes in regulations, changes in taxes, changes in the administration, and the ripple effects of those. What is that threat that's out there, and what is it about it that's going to impact your business? Not just giving you uncertainty, but it's going to truly impact your business. And that's what we want. Clear definitions of, clear, concise, precise definitions. Once we have those definitions, we're going to break them down into categories. Are they external threats, and what kind of threats? So external. People are on unemployment. They're getting more money on unemployment than you can pay them. So you're going to have a hard time, or are having a hard time, getting employees that you need back into your business. What are the alternatives? We're going to identify those later, but you're going to make a little mark there that you need to identify alternatives. And if in the course of brainstorming you come up with things, well, I might have to increase pay, that's a threat. I might have to go broader in the definition. I might have to take less qualified workers and still pay the same because it would be a raise for them. What is it? That threat needs to be defined in a three-dimensional way. The who, the what, and the why, that's a threat. So we're talking about labor force. We might want to talk about funding. You're cash strapped. Your capital is low. You're running through the PPP and the idle funds. You already ran through your personal funds. What's going to happen? Where is another source of income coming from? What are you going to do? So a capital crisis. Maybe it's not a profitability crisis at this point. You're profitable, but you just don't have the cash flow. So define it. Make sure it's clear. Again, what is it about your capital that's an issue? Why is it that way? Are you having a hard time collecting it? Has the cost of your inputs, your labor, and your other supplies gone up? You want the why, the who, the how, all of those kind of things. You want to define this as clearly as you can for each threat, and dig through them and put some down. Even put down some of the things that seem ridiculous. Might be too small. And, you know, it might be you have a key employee going to retire in 2 years. What does that mean? Maybe the stress has gotten to everybody and everybody's short-tempered and you need to deal with more employee morale. Write down those things that are keeping you awake, that are disrupting how your business is. Why is it a threat? How is it impacting your business? Who is it impacting? Who is involved? What do you need to do? Those types of things are going to help you prioritize these threats and also analyze them more, because we're going to step back and take those threats and start trying to turn them into the opportunities. So the more time you spend on threats and assessing the environment, the regulatory issues, the financial issues, how banks are lending, what the SBA is doing, what potentially Congress is doing, all of those kind of things are out there. And unfortunately, one of the other threats is a physical threat to your business in a lot of parts of the country right now. Think of all those businesses in Portland, in Kenosha, in different parts of the country. Even here in Raleigh, North Carolina, we've had businesses that have had the windows broken, things stolen. So small or large, where your business is located, you have to think about security too in this equation. So that's something that people are concerned about. So what is it they have to do, and you have to think about that way. And when it comes back to security, you start thinking about how do you mitigate that again. So checking your insurance policies, checking for security systems, checking about security patrols. What could you do with a neighborhood watch, with your local police? What are all of those kind of things? Because again, in defining these threats, we're going to look for opportunities for your business to match up to. So I know there are a couple local businesses, actually there are several, that are in the security field. And historically, they've dealt with, say, colleges and university campuses as one of their markets. Well, now they're shifting to think about businesses, small businesses, and, you know, shopping centers, business parks, as a good place to evaluate how they can package services and how they can come up with a retainer, a package that all these businesses can afford and can come together to help mitigate and protect their businesses going forward. So there's all of these different things, and I'm going to say the majority of your time in the middle of the in-between analysis is going to be spent on the threats. And as you define them, the more that you can identify that are significant, that are things that are in common with other businesses, and separate them into sections. The ones that would be in common with other businesses, the ones that are unique to your business, maybe because of a location or the type of business. And define them, dig into them, Google the information, talk to other people that are in your area. What are they seeing? What are they feeling? Look at economic projections. Look at regulatory projections. What are the police reports and the crime statistics doing? Just look at all of that and take it in, but not from the standpoint of it being a stressor. Take it in from the standpoint of this is something you're going to be able to take action about. And then when you have this list refined and defined with the who, what, when, where, how, why, how much of an impact, how long, all of those kind of things, and what you know about it and what you want to know about it, because they'll have questions. Put questions there that you can't answer, that you're going to look for that information. And now when you get that list, we're going to deal with it to mitigate it and address those issues with your business, but we're also going to look to it as an ability to problem solve and create products and services and technology that we can now sell through your businesses that meet with your capabilities, your strengths, and your weaknesses. So if you've listened to the Core Genesis show, we're applying those Core Genesis elements of concepts, opportunities, resources in your entity to this right now, to this in the middle of the in-between situation, to take those threats, and we're going to look at them and see what business concepts, what business ideas are there to match up to these opportunities that come from these threats to all of our businesses. And by doing that, we're going to look for those ideas where there is a market opportunity. So we have an idea, we can come up with a product or a solution to fill a need, and we're going to look at the marketplace to see how big that opportunity is and how well it fits with the resources we have, what resources it will take to produce those products or services, that technology to, as one of my colleagues hates this word, but pivot to adding something to our rosters to be in business, to start restart our growth, or to accelerate our growth, or to expand our growth, depending on how everything has been impacting your business. And so we want to play to our capabilities. Remember the viability factors. So if we're capable of delivering on it, it's a viable business opportunity, so it matches up. We'll have credibility when we take it to the marketplace, and we're going to be able to get these solutions visible by using new tools and new products, or leveraging ones we've had before, such as social media, such as advertising, expert articles, our websites. We're going to do all of those things that we need to take advantage of the in the middle of the in-between state that everyone is in. And so that SWOT is really critical to laying the foundation for what our business is and is becoming and will be in the future. And so strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats require us to do another type of SWOT. And it's a police, security, military term of SWOT, meaning special weapons and tactics. And that's what we also have to put out. We're going to put some new tools and new tactics into our toolkit, into our business. And so let's think of it not just as special, but in this case, I want to change that special to strategic weapons and tactics. And what does that look like? Well, it depends on the opportunities and our strengths and how this is going to match up. Strategically, we might be short on cash and long on expertise, but maybe we can find a business to enter a joint venture with, a formal teaming agreement. Maybe we can create a licensing or franchising type activity where we come up with the concept and we're going to get revenue in by licensing that, because we can't deploy it ourselves because we don't have the resources and the bandwidth to do it on our own. But we can find someone that can get it to the marketplace, and they have the resources and we have the idea. But we've got to protect that idea. So in the strategic weapons and tactics section, our SWOT, we are going to hone that strategy. We want a focused strategy. We want it so that it takes the minimal resources to get the maximum impact, because it's going to be based on how many resources of people, of time, of talent, of treasure, of the cash flow that we have, of the resources we need to acquire, and we're going to deploy that. So if we've really shrunk our business and we're operating at a loss and our bank is empty, what we need to be doing is making connections out there and reaching out to find trusted business partners, strategic allies, potential joint venture organizations that still have cash and capital but are looking for opportunities. And so we want to make that match. Or maybe we're the ones with the cash and the capital, and we have the strategy, we have the solution we're going to deploy, but we don't have the right people to deploy it right now because we lost our people. We had to lay them off despite everything, and they're not willing to come back, or they don't have the skill set that we needed for this new venture that we're going to add to our business. So we're looking for specialized strategic weapons of technology that is intense, that may be disruptive to the things, that may address risky situations. Our business can and will thrive if we're willing to do something differently. And the reality is we all have been doing things differently, working from home, having remote workers, not being able to monitor employees 24/7, even though they're working and paying. We're looking at not just the hours they're working, but we're looking at the product they're producing, the results they're getting. Maybe we have implemented something that monitors the hours that our employees have worked, or maybe that's something that businesses may be interested in. So we've got to assess those threats, those opportunities, and our resources in here to identify the best idea we have for a new solution, a new product to fill a new need. Assess the opportunity out there. We want to do all our market research. We want to lay that foundation. And that may mean that we're the ones rolling up our sleeves and doing it. We may need to retool and redesign our business website. We may need to go into social media in a way we haven't done to date. We may need to look for different tools. And because we're cash strapped, that we might have a lot of time on our hands because we're home, then we may be learning new skills ourselves. We may be taking Canva and looking at the functionality there and making our own social media posts. We may be making schedules. We may make our own infographics, create a new logo. There's all kinds of things we may do. We may do market research by inviting people to focus groups via Zoom. We may look out at our LinkedIn networks, our post something on Reddit, do a survey with planets, Survey Planet. There's all kinds of things that we may do. And it's going to stretch us. And it might be tough to be doing things that maybe aren't our skill set. But learning is something that is going to be required going forward in everyone's business. Because if you're not going to be willing to learn, if you're not going to be able to adapt, if you're not going to become an expert in the middle of the in-between, then we're going to have a problem surviving, and let alone thriving. And so every business needs to SWAT their SWAT. We need to take strategic weapons and tactics and apply it to our strengths, our weaknesses, these opportunities, and these threats. And we're going to make a new strategic and tactical plan. And so what is that strategy going to be? I'm going to say, at a minimum, it is assess, learn, define, adapt, and act. So in this plan, we're going to learn about everything that's going on and how it's affecting our business and other businesses. We're going to assess those things and define what's going on and give priorities to them so that we can figure out what is the way to adapt to that. So is it a technology answer? Is it a people answer? Is it more employees? Is it contractors? Is it teaming? Is it a new joint venture? Is it a completely new business? What is it? Because our goal is to preserve our cash so that we can maximize our return on the investment we're going to make in these new opportunities and in our business. We've got to stay alive in order to thrive. And so for some businesses, when you do this assessment, God bless you, but the best thing you may find to do is to close that business, either temporarily or permanently, and start fresh with the limited resources that you're able to conserve and preserve right there. Now, if you make that decision, it's got to be a considered decision. It's got to be an informed decision, realizing all the implications of that, of laying off your employees. If you don't have employees, of contractors, are you in contracts? Do you have vendors that you still need to pay? Do you need to make arrangements for payment plans, or are you defaulting on all of those things? And what will that do to credit ratings? And this, okay, your stress is mounting. I know this isn't fun, but it should be energizing, at least, because you're about to take control of your destiny again. You can't control COVID. You can't control what your city or your state or the country is doing in reaction to it and all the rules and things. But you can start redefining where you are now and where you are going. Because that's what we're figuring out. We're creating a new destination. So you're defining where you are. You're defining what this in the middle of the in-between situation is, and looking at things that you think are going to happen based on information that you can find from conversations with other businesses, that looking at news stories, looking at economic analysis, looking at what other businesses are doing, what they're putting into their annual reports. We're very soon going to have annual reports again, and it's hard to believe, but we can look at labor data. We can look at the census data coming out next year, hopefully. And we're going to have a better idea of who is here, what's going on, where everybody's moving, the transition from cities to urban to rural areas, and the shift in population state to state. There's so much going on. Okay, you can tell I get excited about it because I happen to be a person that likes change. And maybe you are too, or maybe you change only reluctantly. Maybe you're a risk taker, or maybe you're risk averse. That has to be taken into consideration in these strengths and weaknesses and opportunities and threats analysis. But you can be confident that if you do nothing, you are at the whim and weathering of the storm that's going on around you. You're going to go whichever way the wind blows, and you have no control. But isn't it better to take control of the helm, or handle the rudder, and make sure that you can set sail the right way? That you are picking the path that you're going to take from where you are right now and into the future. And you're going to create the strategy, these tactics, these methods and tools that are going to enable you to continually assess, adapt, adopt, and act. We want to be able to repeat these processes as things are continuing to change. And so I've had my business nearly 20 years now. Is it the exact business I thought I would have 20 years ago? No. I had different products and services then. I had a different client mix than I have now. And I spent more time on, I'm going to say, cleanup and audit of non-compliant companies with government funding than working with companies to get government and other funding. And while I love those clients and I love the analysis and the picture and the way things were and those relationships with those clients, I love the creativity of building new businesses and looking for these concepts and looking at market opportunities and assessing the threats and turning them into opportunities. And I want you to feel that excitement too, because if you can get excited about change, if you can get excited about taking back some control, then the stress changes and your life changes because your stress goes down, not because things are not happening around you, but because you're taking action to control some of the things that are happening, the things you can control. We can control our reactions to what goes on around us. And that's what we're working on here. In developing a strategic and tactical plan and looking for new weapons to put in our arsenal. Let's say you did LinkedIn a little bit and you might have done some Reddit, or maybe you were on Tumblr or Snapchat or Instagram, or maybe it's Facebook, whatever you were doing for your business, or maybe you weren't doing any of them, and now is the prime time for you to take some of the free online courses on what is social media, how to develop a social media strategy. Maybe you have a website that is old and outdated and you don't have the funds to do it. Website construction and with templates and these tools that are out there, it's fairly straightforward at this point. It's drop and drag. If you can work in a Word document or a PowerPoint, you can work in a website builder. And so it's looking at those different options and getting energized by learning. The businesses that will succeed, the people that will succeed, are the ones that are able to be in constant learning mode and adapting their skill set. And you should be a learning organization, a learning leader, and lead your organization to be an organization of learners too. Because that means that we can adapt under uncertainty and go into the future not just surviving, but thriving. And so, yes, the future is always unknown. We think we have some predictions, but it's more like a weather forecast. We're really confident about it. But it's about probabilities. And when we look at the weather, there's a 70% chance of rain. Well, that means there's a 30% chance of no rain. So under the conditions that they're forecasting, that they expect to be coming, 70% of the time, there's rain. Well, 30% of the time, there isn't. And so that's kind of the way we have to think about our businesses and these plans that we're doing. So a plan, as they say in the military, only survives until the battle is engaged. And we are in a big battle right now. And so this battle is engaged. This battle is underway. And so the plan we had is no more. And now we need a new plan. And that plan is not one we're going to stick in the drawer or up on the shelf. This is a living plan. And we're going to go back to it to look to see what we expected. And we're going to make some changes and we're going to adapt based on new information. And new information is valuable information. So it's what's going on in the marketplace, what are we seeing, how are sales numbers doing. It's about having a one page that we look at in our business. And that one page that I put in front of my clients has sales numbers, has profitability numbers, has their debt service numbers, how much interest are you paying, how much are you transacting costs going to be. So I had a call from a client, it was before COVID. And she had been persuaded to shift where she was doing her business transactions and getting her payments. Well, that was all well and good. Her payments were coming through. But one day I can't remember the reason she said, but she looked down at those transactions. I think her controller had left. And when she looked down and realized that her transaction fee, her merchant credit card fee for all these transactions and payments was $41,000 in 1 month. Now, she's a big business, but $41,000 that could have gone to her bottom line if she had done payment methods differently. Well, that tool went by the wayside. Yes, it was convenient, but there were a lot less expensive and convenient tools out there to process payments and bills. And so we always think we know more about the future than we do. We expect what's going on to continue into the future. Well, now we know we don't always want what's going on right now to continue into the future. We want something different. And so that future is always unknown, but we have a degree of predictability or certainty with it that we don't feel like we have right now. And you have to say this with me. It's okay not to have certainty about what is in the future because we're developing a plan that allows us to assess, adapt, adopt, and change. And so what does it look like? We have a lot of prep work to do right now in defining our threats and define them. And then we're going to look at how are we going to eliminate, mitigate, reduce those threats. And the tools that we develop for our business may be tools that we're going to sell to other businesses. Or maybe we're going to find a new technology platform and we decide, well, we were doing graphic design, so now we're also going to do websites. Or maybe we were a marketing firm only taking projects that had a minimum revenue associated with them of $25,000. And now we're going to come up with a program that enables us to work with smaller businesses for $5,000 each, but they do the work and we're just advising and we're walking them through group consulting practices, sessions. There's all kinds of things we do, but we're going to create a plan of action that has defined strategies, a tactical arsenal of our social media, of business development, of using technology platforms like WebEx or Zoom. And we're going to get both the big picture of where we want our business to go, and we're going to start working on those details. And we're going to shift from being reactive and just taking whatever the marketplace is throwing at us right now because of COVID and the things that have gone on around COVID to be proactive and saying, We're defining where we are and we're going to define where we're going. Now, we're not going to be clear on every step we're going to take between those two paths, but we do know we're going to be able to identify that next first step. And that's what we're looking at. So our first step right now is looking at the threats. We're going to turn those into opportunities, and we're going to try to match those marketplace opportunities with customer segments in the marketplace and our skill set to assess whether we are capable of delivering new products, new services, existing products to new customers, and that it creates a viable business opportunity for us, that people are going to be able to pay for the products, and we're going to make enough profit on it to be in business and not just be in business surviving, but thriving and being able to generate enough money to get employees, contractors, pay our vendors, pay ourselves, and reinvest in the business to get back on that growth path that we wanted before. So our whole shift is to be proactive, and we're going to make a plan. And we may not know every step we're going to take, but we're going to know major milestones and destinations along the path that we're going to look for. And the only thing we have to know on a daily basis is the next thing we're going to do. So what are those next things? And hopefully you can know at least a week at a time. So tomorrow, what are you going to do? You're going to assess your business, step one. You're going to get your financials. You're going to pull up your financial statement, your balance sheet. You're going to get your bank statements, your credit card statements. You're going to get all your financial information together. You're going to get your financial system up to date, whether that's your Excel spreadsheet, it's QuickBooks, or some other accounting tool. And you're going to assess where you are. you're going to estimate any tax impact that's there, any increase in lending interest, all that kind of stuff that's there. You're going to get the best financial snapshot that you can. And then you're going to drill down into those numbers. You're going to drill down into the sales numbers. You're going to drill into your cost numbers. You're going to look at your cash conversion cycle. How long does it take you to, from the time you get your employees, get other inputs in, so inventory, supplies, technology, whatever it takes to produce your products, your service, your technology that you're selling. And you're going to figure out what that timeline is right now. And then you're going to see what's the cost of the financing of your customers by looking at that timeline. So if your credit terms are 30 days and your customers are paying in 90, you're financing them an additional 60 days. So what happens? Are there incentives to get them to pay early? Is there things like I go to a reflexology place and they used to take credit cards for everything and everything was the same, cash or credit. But now they have a cash price and now they have a credit price. And they separate out and ask your tips be given to the employees in cash so that they're not paying the transaction fee on employee tips. And so it's those kind of things that they've had to change because they couldn't afford to keep their prices where they were and have more people paying on credit cards and losing that 3.75% to 7% of a credit card processing fee. And so they shifted how they were billing their customers. And one of the things they had to do was not just suddenly tell that to the customers they're getting ready to check out, but post prominent signs that say we have a cash price and we have a credit price. You may be in a medical clinic, I know, have shifted to being more of a concierge service where you can pay a flat fee for the year, or you can buy packages of services if you do certain recurring things, so like IV infusions or other treatments that are recurring. And so you get a lower price by buying upfront and buying packages of 3, 5, 10 treatments at a time. So everybody's getting inventive. They're learning to how to help the customer, and they're learning how to get their cash faster into the business. And so those are the kind of things we want to think about. So tomorrow, you're working on your financials. And once you have your financial picture and the definition of your business of who are your customers now, what accounts receivable are outstanding, how old are they, how likely are you to collect, I'd say make some calls or have an employee make some calls, politely have a script saying, hey, we're just calling to check in on you. You know, historically, you've paid on time and completely. We understand with COVID and all the different things going on that things are in effect. We just need to know how much you can pay on your bill and when we can expect that. And tell us honestly, is it $25? Is it $200? What is it and when is it? Because we need to know how little or how much and when so that we can communicate with our suppliers and our vendors honestly and upfront. So we're going to have difficult conversations, and that's something we're going to have to learn to do. But there's so much about relationships and communication and all of this that we're doing, so that we need to know that businesses are going to survive, and they're going to survive through relationships, whether those relationships are built over the phone, through email, through Zoom meetings, through reaching out, through social media. We have to be connected. We don't have to be in person to be connected. It would be nice to sit down across a lunch table at a restaurant and have a conversation with your colleagues, to have a network meeting in person where, you know, it's over lunch or over dinner. There's a lot of things we miss, but there's a lot of ways we can still connect and get to know new people and make new connections, and we need to work on that and be proactive. We need to take charge. So once we have our sales things down, and once we've nailed down our accounts receivable, we've talked to our vendors about our accounts payable, timing on payments. If we're behind, be honest and meet the commitment. If you think you want to promise them 200, but you're really realistically only going to give them 25, and you want to tell them, okay, I can do $25 a week for like the next 3 months, and we're going to do our best to get you more if we can, but that's what we can commit on and know we can't default on. Keep those promises, and those relationships are important, because $25 a week may be a big difference in a lot of businesses right now between staying open and closing. So we're dealing with the unknown. We're defining who we are. We're defining where we are financially. And then we need to dig in to those accounts receivable, our customers, our sales, our collections, how we're processing credit cards, all the different things that we can do to change that financial position to some lesser degree. It's not going to be big things probably, but we can do some things to make the financial picture more certain and help us lay the groundwork for the future and for what we're going to be creating. So once we know where we're at, our best customers, what they're doing, let's take time to survey those customers too. Maybe 2 or 3 days, and you pick some of the best customers that you still have and some of the best customers that are no longer customers, and give them a call and ask them a few questions. How are you doing? What's been impacting you? What do you see for the future of your business? We're trying to get a feel. You may want to do a free, 3-question survey and send it out to your customers. I'm using Survey Planet right now to do a lot of that, to find out why customers have gone away from renewing memberships in certain organizations. I'm doing it for some clients. And the information is startling. Time, didn't get a good enough ROI on it. Didn't fit with the group. Didn't have shared goals and vision for things. And so that information helps you formulate how to overcome those objections and try to get the people to come back, or how to assess what you need to do differently and how the market has shifted. And so there's so many things that we want to come together to figure out. And so that information, those surveys from your customers, from your vendors, from colleagues even, the more people you can get information from anonymously or knowing who's giving it, the better informed you're going to be on doing those threat assessments to your business and then the general threats out there that are environmental threats. So we're trying to get those big pictures, and we want to apply it to the details of our business and how it's impacting us and how we're going to go forward. And that's our starting point. We're in the middle of the in-between, and we're going to come out of this by learning about our organization and where we're at, learning about the environment around us and what's going on with other businesses, translating that back and looking at those threats, turning them into opportunities, matching them with our capabilities, and creating viable paths forward that are going to require different tools, different resources, maybe different people on our teams, different things that we need to do and to think about. Things that are quick things to be assessing in your business: the state of your website. Is it current? Does it load quickly? Does it have relevant information on it? Your Yelp listings. Other social media, where are you? What are you doing? Do you have the skill sets? There are a lot of free courses out there that will be given by a lot of organizations, and there are a lot of free resources on website buildings and stuff on people's websites who sell platforms related to it. So Yoast, WordPress, go out there, look at Wix, all of these different systems, GoDaddy, look at their articles and look at what they're advising and what they're offering. Sometimes there's free emails, there's free websites for 6 months. Website building tools, look out there and see what you can find in the free resources. And then it may be using your employees' times to fill in with these tasks where they're not spending time on customers and sales and services. It may be your time. You may be developing new skill sets that you never wanted to have, but it's a necessity. And I'm going to tell you that I'm telling everybody that I know that do not have technological skills, in this day and age, COVID and post-COVID, technology is your friend. And so whether you're a baby boomer or a millennial or generation Y, X, Z, whatever the generation, you need technology skills. Email is not enough. Texting is not enough. Answering your phone is not enough. You need to be developing robust skills related to understanding social media, to websites, to your financial and accounting systems, to how other people are interacting with this information. There's all kinds of information out there that we can leverage and ways we can connect with other people. We just have to have the skill sets and the willingness to learn them and then use them and make the time to use them. Just this weekend, I've learned 2 new tools related to social media. I've been using other things, and now I'm out there using different tools and finding different functionality that was there. It's worth the time. It's worth my investment to do that. And again, for me, change and learning is something that I love. And if there's a day that I'm doing the same thing over and over again, then that causes me stress. So I want to encourage you to take some risks, to take time to learn new things, to reach out to get new tools, to talk to new people, to look at LinkedIn, to look at Reddit, Tumblr, Snapchat, Instagram, all of these different tools, and find out where your customers are. It doesn't do you any good to use tools and be places trying to communicate with customers that are not there and prospects that don't match your target market. So get out there and learn. Don't be afraid. And we're going to continue this series on being in the middle of the in-between and taking the next steps to transition your business into a thriving business once again, or to take it even to the next level if you've been growing through COVID. And until next time, everybody, stay focused on the important things and be safe. You've been listening to Focus on Business on WCOM FM 103.5 LP, Chapel Hill and Carrboro, your community radio station.